The COVID economy is hitting people with children very hard. I'm David Brancaccio. New data out today show that 2.1 million people signed up for unemployment benefits in the last week. That's down from the revised 2.4 million a week earlier. People still on the rolls after a layoff went to 21 million. That is a slight improvement. This is a good time to consult the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, Diane Swonk.
What we saw was continuing claims come down a bit, which does mean that some people are starting to get rehired as states reopen. What the sad reality is that people are still applying at an extraordinary pace for new claims, which is in part catching up because they haven't been able to get claims yet, but also we're seeing, overall, we're not hiring enough to offset any magnitude of the extraordinary job losses that we've seen out there. And in fact, the Beige Book yesterday by the Federal Reserve talking to businesses underscored how many of businesses that thought layoffs were temporary in April are now thinking they're much more permanent and they're going to be unable to go back up to the kind of levels of employment we saw pre-COVID anytime soon.
And you had some census data there that really gives us a snapshot of what we're up against?
The census is now surveying many households, and as of the most recent week, 55% of households with a child under the age of 18 had at least one adult lose employment since the start of COVID-19. That's higher than the rate for all other households. So basically, we've got people with children getting disproportionately hit with job losses as well. And of course, we know those children are home now from school or from summer breaks, and they're unable to even rejoin the labor force because they have to care for those children at home.
Diane Swonk, thank you. Now, it's worth remembering there was a time where our country did not have a jobless benefits system. And that's the subject of the latest episode of Marketplace's documentary podcast called The Uncertain Hour. The host of the podcast and my colleague Chrissy Clark is here to talk about how this safety net came to be and what holes are still in it. Hey, Chrissy.
Hey, David.
Lots of problems with our state-based system of unemployment benefits, right? Gig workers in many places got the short end of the stick. State unemployment systems got overwhelmed and clogged.
Right, like this woman, Candace Gordon, who worked at a Denny's in Georgia until the last weekend of March as the coronavirus was spreading across the U.S.
I walked up to the door and tried to pull the door open. Damn door wouldn't open. And then that's when I saw the sign on the door that said, Denny's will be closed until further notice. And I'm like, what the hell? Why ain't nobody call me?
Candace filed for jobless benefits, says she got approved. But 2 months later, she still hadn't gotten any money and bills were piling up. Of course, as states deal with their backlogs, people like Candace probably will get paid eventually. But a lot of unemployed people don't get money ever. Even in normal times. Last year, just 28% of unemployed Americans received unemployment benefits. And it turns out that in some ways, that's the way the system has been designed to work from the very beginning.
You're saying that unemployment insurance was by design not meant to cover everyone who is unemployed?
I am. Unemployment insurance is actually a fairly recent invention. It came to be in the middle of the Great Depression when the unemployment rate had hit almost 25%. Written into the law that created unemployment insurance, there was this catch that white Southern Democrats lobbied for. Certain jobs would not qualify for benefits, including two big categories, farm work and domestic work, like housekeepers and nannies. These jobs were, at the time, disproportionately done by Black people. And if you look at the debates politicians were having back then, it's pretty clear that is why those jobs were excluded. White segregationists didn't want those Black workers to be eligible for unemployment insurance. It wasn't until the 1970s that those workers were brought into the fold.
But with coronavirus relief from the federal government, Congress has made it easier for unemployed workers who don't meet those requirements to get some benefits now.
Yes, but that is only temporary. And that's one thing that will be interesting to watch. What will the political will be to keep the expansion of these benefits? Maybe it will be an inflection point like the Great Depression, or maybe we'll let those holes in the safety net come back.
Chrissy, thank you.
Thank you, David.
The Uncertain Hours season is called The History of Now. Episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts. And you can read lessons from Chrissy's series in our Econ Extra Credit newsletter. You can look for that and sign up. It's free. Marketplace.org/newsletters. We've also been reporting today that President Trump will release an executive order that will make it harder for social media companies to claim they don't have to vouch for content on the sites. Experts say this will go to court. Twitter stock is down 1.9%. That's the company that may have prompted this executive order when it put fact-check links on some fact-challenged presidential tweets. Right now, the Dow is up 63 points, 0.3%. The S&P is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ composite is flat at the moment.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Disney World, big one in Florida, plans to reopen this summer, but no hugging Goofy, and you better be wearing a mask. These are just some of the pandemic-era adjustments so the place can get back into business and stop bleeding cash. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Closing Disney's theme parks has cost the company about $1 billion, and that's not even accounting for April and May. Shanghai's Disneyland opened on May 11th, and if Florida's governor approves, Disney World in Orlando will be next on July 11th. But the new Disney World will be decidedly un-Disney. The park's chief operating officer, Jim McPhee, explained in a presentation to Florida regulators yesterday.
We will temporarily suspend parades, fireworks, and other events that create crowds.
No crowds at a Disney theme park. There will be more cashless transactions, a reservation system to get a ticket, and temperature checks at the gate. Also, visitors must keep distance from costumed characters. A so-called social distancing squad will be around to remind people of that. Attendance will be capped below capacity. No word on exactly how far below, but at Shanghai's park, it's at 30%. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Thank you, Nova. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.